Genesis 47, verses 27 to 31. What we have here is the account that the Israelites, now having settled in Egypt, in the region of Goshen, obtained property there and were fruitful and increased greatly in number. That's verse 27. And that verse contains a great deal in it. God is working his purpose out. Israel is growing more and more, and will very soon now become a nation. At the Exodus, and all this is in God's eternal plan to reveal redemption in history through covenants. The Abrahamic covenant is soon going to lead on to the Mosaic covenant. Of course, there'll be some centuries to pass, and many events have to take place, but nevertheless, God is securely working his purpose out. That's what I see in verse 27. God is still at work, even today. It may not seem like it as the moments pass, but God's eternal purpose is working to his final fulfillment, the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ushering in of the eternal state, the eternal glory for the saints to follow. It's a wonderful thought that though we are small creatures of time in ourselves, brothers and sisters, we are part and parcel of this great covenant scheme, and even the ungodly too, though they don't know it or they're not interested in it. God is working his purpose out, and all things are working together for his glory and for the good of his people. But I want to say just a few words on Jacob at this time, from verse 28. Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. When the time drew near for Israel to die, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Don't bury me in Egypt. But when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried. I will do as you say," he said. "Swear to me," he said. Then Joseph swore to him, and Israel worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff, or maybe on the bedpost, the head of his bed. What can we learn from this little passage? Well, the writer of the Hebrews, 11:21, telescopes this event here and the next chapter, and telescopes them and brings them together, and records it as one of the great acts of faith. So we have something here that speaks to us, brother and sister. It's speaking to you and it's speaking to me now. This is the way of faith. What can we learn? Jacob knew that he was soon going to die. Well, none of us know, of course, when we will die. But some of us, I'm one, know that it can't be very far off. I'm 76 now. It can't be many years now before I too have to die. But all of us have to die. Jacob knew it. We all know it. Even the unbeliever, you know it, don't you? You know you're not going to live forever in this life. You might shun the thought, you might push it away, but you know it. Now, Jacob was not frantic about this. There's the interesting thing. There's no suggestion that he was frantically clinging on to life. He thought about it. He faced it. He prepared himself to die. He talked about it. He got ready to die. You? Are you ready to die? Pause, my soul, and ask the question. Art thou ready to meet God? So wrote William Gadsby. Think and tremble, he said. Think and tremble. Death is now upon the road. Every day I'm hurtling towards my final moment on earth in this life. And so are you. Well, we don't want to talk about such things. No, you don't, unbeliever. But you see, Jacob was willing to talk about it, willing to think about it. And believers are willing to talk about it and think about it. Read your New Testament. It's a remarkable book in this light. Read the letters of the New Testament. Read Philippians chapter 1. Read 1 Corinthians 15. Read these passages. Believers are prepared to talk about death, and more than prepared. In many senses, they're eager to talk about it. Philippians chapter 1. I have a debate, says the apostle. I don't know whether to want to live and be useful in service for the gospel in this life, or to die, because to die for me is gain. For to be absent from the body, death, is to be present with the Lord. That's the Christians we're talking. Now, Jacob is way, way back, even before the days of the Old Covenant, but even he can face death. He's not clinging on to Egypt, not clinging on to this life. He thinks about it. He got ready for it. He faced it. Unbeliever, let me challenge you about this. You're going on a holiday. You get your tickets. You plan your trip. You get the maps. You get the insurance and all the rest of it. You book this and book that. My friend, you're going into death. Are you booking it? Are you preparing for it? Are you thinking about it? Are you ready for it? I said that I can't have long to live. And of course, some of you are quite young and you have perhaps many years ahead of you, but you don't know. We do not know what a day may bring. We do not know what an hour may bring. Are you ready? Brother and sister, are you ready? Have you made your preparations? Have you faced up to it? You see, Jacob thought about his remains. Where am I going to be buried, he said. He thought about what was going to happen to him. Now, I notice he wanted to be buried. I must be open and frank with you. I am convinced that the godly way, the biblical way, of disposing of remains, and it must be done decently and properly and respectfully, is by burial. For the believer particularly, indeed, for the unbeliever, I think there's a lesson in 1 Corinthians 15. Death is but a sowing of the seed in the soil. The seed must die, but it will rise again and produce life. Now, for the unbeliever, the rising again will be to judgment and everlasting condemnation. But for the believer, it's a rising to new life, a glorious life. 1 Corinthians 15 is full of it. It's a very wonderful chapter in this way. And therefore, I am firmly convinced that cremation is not right for believers. I don't like it at all anyway. But particularly for me as a believer, in the light of 1 Corinthians 15, I want to follow my Lord and be buried. But Jacob thought about his remains. What will they do with them? I don't want to be buried in Egypt. I don't want to be buried with the Egyptians. And he thought about the land and his people. Now, the land is very important in the Old Covenant and in the Abrahamic Covenant. And therefore, Jacob has this tie to the land. This is the Old Covenant and before. And therefore, the land takes this importance on. But not now in the New Covenant. It's not so much where we're buried. It's where we will go to when we rise. It's not who we're buried with. It's with whom will we be forever. In the new, eternal state. Have you thought about that, my friend? It's not so much your earthly remains now, although we treat them with respect, but your soul. Where will that be forever? Where will your new body, body and soul, be in eternity? It's not where your body is going to lie in the ground, and with whom it's going to lie. It's where it's going to be, in the glorified state, in the eternal state. Will it be with Christ forever with his people? Or will it be utterly separated from God with the devil and his angels? Jacob is willing to face all this in his own life, as far as he understands. Are you willing to face it now, unbeliever? And child of God, are you willing to face it? Are you willing to face up to it, even now? Are you ready to die? One last point. Notice how this passage closes. And Israel worshipped. What? Talking about death? Talking about his body in the ground? Talking about the end of this life? He worshipped. What a thought. Unbeliever, I can understand you hating the thought of death. After all, when death comes, your heaven is over. This is heaven to you, isn't it? For the believer, death is but the entrance into glory and into heaven. Now, Israel worshipped. Brother and sister, will you be able to worship? Can you worship in the thought, in the face of the thought of your own death? Can you be so ready to meet with God and so dealt with your affairs and talked it over that all you have to do is die when that day comes? And the prospect before you is so glorious that it will not be so much leaving this life as entering glory. Well, this is what I see from this passage here. Jacob faced death. Unbeliever, I urge you to face up to your death now and act upon it and throw yourself into Christ now and upon Christ. Believer, I urge you to face your death and do so in the faith and the trust and the confidence that Christ will never leave you nor forsake you.